Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom Chavrim to all of you listening either locally on 1220 AM radio or on the net at WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, whose passion is to share with you biblical truth incorporating basic Hebraic roots, especially about the end times. And tonight we began teaching verse by verse through the book of Joel. And this is somewhat unusual for a live program these days, but hey, why not? It needs to be done, right? And a reminder, you can re-listen to this show later this week, as well as other programs all labeled for you to choose from. A wealth of information at shofarministries.net. And let's begin in prayer as we always do. We ask God to bless us, of course, and we bless you, Abba, our Father, for your loving kindness to us all. Please strengthen us to do your will today and in the days to come. The days that are coming are pretty hard days, and we just pray that you can meet the needs of the saints. We have those facing in financial crisis that have written to us, as well as those that need healing. And just, Lord, just touch these people and be their answer. And we just want you to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and ears to your words of truth, and just bless every listener today. And in the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen. Toda Rabbah. Or thank you very much, John. And shalom to all of you out there as well. And thanks for joining us on our new time every Tuesday at 8 p.m. And I'm kind of liking this 8 p.m. thing.
Well, that's you. I do, too. Okay, it's different. Sheila, what does shalom mean?
You know, that's a good question, because we say it all the time. We should at least explain what it means. Well, right. In Israel especially, it is a blessing of peace upon you. And they say it when they greet someone or when they even say goodbye.
So if you're one of those people who don't know if you're coming or going, it's probably a good word to use. Right?
That's right.
Mashlomcha.
Yes. And this Friday, June 1st, and every first Friday of the month, Shofar Assembly gathers at Chester Christian Center, which is on Route 306 in Chesterland.
And the address is on our web calendar.
Yes, it is. And please come out and join our somewhat open forum Bible study. People get to ask questions. If they ask too many, though, I won't answer them, but no.
Well, we do have a time schedule. We have to keep it. Yeah.
And we get Messianic-type worship music by you, John.
That's
which
right.
Is so awesome. How many places can you go where you teach them how to sing in Hebrew? I mean, that's the heavenly language that we're going to be able to sing when we get up there. It'll be in Hebrew.
I think so. A lot of it will be. And you know what? If you'd like Sheila to come out to your church.
To drive them crazy?
To drive them crazy with this Hebraic root stuff. Or even your home group. She'd be happy to come out.
Oh, absolutely.
Just give her a call. Her number is 440-834-9006. Okay, Sheila, before we get back into the book of Joel, is there any news we need to discuss today that fits into this big prophetic scenario?
Yes, indeed. But you said before we get back into the book of Joel, I just wanted to mention.
Oh, that's right.
We haven't gotten in there yet.
Well, okay.
I don't want to make
Well, we were in there a little bit because we did mention his name.
You're right. Yes, indeed, we have some news. Egypt held their elections that they were supposed to, and sure enough, like I did say about a month ago, a man named Mohammed Mursi from the Muslim Brotherhood got the highest number. And the second highest, and by the way, there's a lot of candidates. I thought I heard 24.
Yeah.
But there was quite a few. But the second highest, and again, it was very close in numbers, by the way, but it was a man named Ahmad Shafiq, mm-hmm. who just happened to be the prime minister to the ousted President Mubarak. Now, of course, many were angry about that. And yesterday, they actually torched Shafiq's headquarters in Cairo. So anyway, the next voting will be between those two in June, between the Muslim Brotherhood and an ex-Mubarak prime minister.
Well, kudos to you for predicting that the Muslim Brotherhood would be first in the running.
Yeah.
And we've said that a long time.
Yeah, and I still will say that he will win.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. Actually.
Why? Because it fits the prophetic scenario.
Right, because all nations are going to be against Israel, and they're more against Israel than the other would be.
Yes, exactly. Now, what about Syria? There's a lot of stuff going on.
Syria is still killing the rebels, and Sunday killed at least 32 of the rebels' children. It's really awful. The international community says they must do something, but of course they just keep talking about it. And we know that Russia, secretly, of course, is still helping Syria with weapons, as well as North Korea is sending them military supplies. And then we look at the rebels, and we're finding that they're using German guns and ammunition. And that hasn't been seen since World War II ended. And we, of course, don't know how they got them. So neither side is stopping, and I don't know.
It sounds like a lot of intrigue going on behind the scenes.
Oh, we don't know. Nothing is as it seems.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, we're going to do a verse-by-verse, line-by-line.
We are.
Study.
So I cut the news short this week, so we could do that.
So we could do that. And before we get into that, Sheila, how about a little background to the small but very mighty writings of Joel?
Yes, he's considered to be what scholars term as one of the minor prophets, but that only means he wrote less pages. and minor in thought and information, I say definitely not. In fact, just the opposite.
Yeah, and we will soon see that over the next couple of weeks, right?
Yep, we will.
Sheila, I know that names of people are very significant in Scripture. So what does the name Joel mean in Hebrew?
Actually, it means Yahweh is God.
Or that would be Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Yeah, sometimes they just pronounce Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Yeah.
And this is very appropriate for Joel, for the name confirms God's sovereign work in history. Yahweh is God, and he's going to do the course of nature, and all the nations are in his hand. So I think it's a great, great name for Joel, and we're going to see that in his writings. But during Joel's day, and this, by the way, is approximately 835 years before Christ came, but most scholars agree that it was Joash who was the king at the time. Now, if you remember the story of Joash, he was crowned at age 7 after being hid in the temple for 6 years from wicked Queen Athaliah.
And she was definitely the daughter of wicked King Ahab and the more wicked Queen Jezebel. So
talk about wicked being passed down.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely
yes.
The truth.
Mm-hmm.
But Athaliah, and by the way, she was queen in Judah, and her parents, Ahab and Jezebel, were king and queen up in the north. So it turns out that Ahab and Queen Jezebel agreement that she would go down to Judah and marry that king. And the name escapes me right now, but he died pretty quick. So after the death of her husband, the king, Athaliah, she decided to kill all the male heirs to the throne so she could rule. And she did. Except the high priest, Jehoiada, and his wife hid Joash as an infant, because he was in the line, in the temple until Joash was 7 years old.
Yeah.
And then the high priest brought him out. And by the way, again, this was Athaliah's great-grandson. So she had no problem killing her family.
Yeah, Joash was. Yeah, actually, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But wicked is wicked.
Well, Jehoiada is going to turn out to be this little king's great help.
Oh, yes. He's the mentor. He's the high priest. And it's him that brought him out at 7 years old and declared him as king. I guess that must have been the age that you could do that.
Well, 7. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, of course. And there's typology in there. You know, it's like Jesus being hid for 6,000 years, and then in the 7th, he's going to be made king down here on earth.
Yeah. Ooh. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But anyway, Athaliah, of course, rebelled about this. Mm-hmm. She wanted to stay queen, so they killed her. And then Jehoiada, still the high priest, mentored Joash to make the righteous kingly decisions that came with that authority, of course. And he destroyed all the Baal idols and turned to the real God, Yahweh. And by the way, if you haven't read this lately, 2 Kings 11 is only one chapter. It's a great chapter. And also 2 Chronicles 23. And if you read the chapters before and after, so you read in context, It's better than any novel.
Oh, it is. Well, this high priest actually fixes him up when he gets to be marriage age, fixes him up to get married.
Mm-hmm.
He's a matchmaker, too. Mm-hmm. So Joash was a godly king then, right?
Well, Joash grew up godly and therefore was a good king
mm-hmm.
for about 35 years until Jehoiada, it's really hard to say, died. And then King Joash began to listen to ungodly people, and he allowed the additional worship of false gods.
And I know you want to say this because we're doing this today in America as well. And that's exactly what it is, isn't it?
Absolutely is. America started as a nation worshiping the God of the Bible. I'm sorry, I don't care what they're trying to change history to say,
mm-hmm.
but that's the truth. I've been reading, and believe me, that is the truth. And now, though, we are adding other gods or religions, saying that all roads lead to heaven.
Yeah, and it's just the same old story, just repackaged in a different package, that's all.
It's Satan's trick since forever is to get people off God and worship idols. And that's exactly what all other religions is, an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people understand that.
That we're into idolatry just like ancient Israel was.
Especially when you condone all these religions and say all roads lead to heaven.
Well, they condone the Baal worship. And so they still claim they were serving God, but they also condone this stuff. And look what happened to them. Look at the judgments.
That's right. It's bringing in extra stuff, extra gods.
Extra gods.
That's right.
How is this country, Sheila, going to be able to escape? Now, we were founded up by godly people. How are we going to escape judgment?
Well, I, of course, am a pre-trib rapture person, so I believe that the bride will be taken out.
Well, that's good.
Before the worst judgment comes. Absolutely. I mean, judgment is coming.
Okay.
America is just not mentioned. I don't care what they say. I don't see it, except for maybe in its absence, like in Jeremiah 30, verse 10, I think it is, where he says, I will destroy all the nations where I have scattered thee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it can happen. It has happened in the past. And like I said, Israel was not spared.
No. But he had made them a promise that they would be around forever. They
yeah.
would be judged, and they have been, but they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make that promise to America.
Okay, that means we need to repent?
Yes, we sure do. If we would all repent as a nation, God would spare us.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen. I can't see people doing it. I mean, I can barely get anybody to, you know, get saved anymore. They just don't want to hear it. They're into their lifestyles and... Although over the weekend I did get to witness to a young man and planted a lot of seeds. It was really nice. But again, it's getting harder. At least here in America it is,
wow.
I think.
It is. And I know this woman, and she has a biblical name in a sense. The name means Passover. It's Pasqualina in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And she has lived over 80 years not knowing that her name actually meant Passover. And that's just how far removed from the Bible she was, you know. She didn't even know what Passover was, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad.
No, and that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, people are just not caring enough to learn it.
So
anyway, we see Joel opens his writings by describing the judgment of God by these devastating locusts that came on Judah for the worshiping of Baal by the king and the people.
And these locusts, do you think these locusts were worse than the ones in the book of Exodus?
I think we're going to see that they were worse by the next couple of verses that we're going to read here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that when we get to it. But the reason Joel is called a prophet is that we will see how he uses this judgment as a prophetic type and proclamation of things that will occur in the end of days, or what we call the day of the Lord, which, by the way, is soon to come on the earth's inhabitants.
Or earth dwellers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about this phrase. We'll talk about earth dwellers. We'll also talk about the idiom day of the Lord. These figures of speech really are an important facet of learning our Hebraic roots, which, of course, we incorporate into this study.
Yeah.
And knowing these phrases really help understand what they were saying.
Well, and there's no other way. They have to be. We have to have the Hebraic roots of the to understand any of this.
If you want to understand prophecy correctly, yes.
Now, we were talking a little bit about Joash. What eventually happens to Joash here?
Oh, Joash reigned about 40 years and was then murdered in his bed by his own officials because Joash actually committed murder. He actually killed his mentors who had already died, Jehoiada's son.
Yeah. The high priest.
It was his mentor, yes.
His mentor.
And his son came and told him that what was going on, you know, you're worshiping Baal, this is bad, God's going to judge, is the process of judging you or just judged you with the locust. So, you know, but instead it made Joash mad that he was being confronted with the truth, so he killed him.
This is the same high priest that had him, made him king.
That's right.
And fixed him up with his wife. Or his wives, I think he had two. But that's just where idol worship will take you.
That's right.
And listening, and if you lose your mentor.
Yeah.
You always have said to get a mentor. In your journey of Bible study, listeners, you need a mentor.
I think so. I think it's very important.
Yeah, I think it
does
is
help
too.
You. Now, but anyway, so he kills the son, and then the officials got mad and killed Joash in bed.
Wow. Well, that's a sad ending to it. Started out good, but ended sad. You did mention the day of the Lord. Now, this is going to be a subject in the book of Joel, correct?
Yeah, it's very important that we understand what that is, and we're going to take it apart probably next time by showing people exactly why this is a whole thousand-year period of time.
Oh, yeah.
The short version is that it's the last 1,000 years of history before eternity.
Mm-hmm.
However, it begins with the 7 years of tribulation, and I believe that 7 years is part of the thousand.
Uh-huh.
And I'll explain all that when we get to it. But also this tribulation will usher in the salvation of all the Jews and many tribulation saints. You're talking about revival?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be during the tribulation. And, you know, when people, prophets of today that are saying, you know, I had a vision of revival and it's really going to happen, blah, 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 I believe they're actually seeing after the rapture, the tribulation saints that are going to get saved. And there really is going to be quite a bit. In fact, there's so many that John couldn't even count them in Revelation 14.
Well, that's true. I remember hearing that, yeah.
That's right. So many tribulation saints will get saved just before Christ sets up his cleaned up earthly kingdom.
Mm.
And again, we'll expand on this probably more next week, especially around verse 15. So you know what? We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will take verse 1, finally, and get right into it. So stay with us.
Okay. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. All donations are tax deductible and are very, very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. You can use PayPal on our website or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email address as well if you have one. And be sure to check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived there for you to find. The lines are going to be open now. The numbers for your end time question, please, is 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. Now, stay with us. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 41, Jesus told us to go the extra mile. At Marathon Roofing, that's exactly what they do. They go the extra mile. They use only the best materials, unlike most builders and remodelers who use cheap materials to increase their profit. All Marathon Roofing employees are knowledgeable and certified, and they offer extended warranties that other companies cannot. They don't cut corners to make an extra buck, and they don't use subcontractors. If you're looking for a quality roof and and a company with integrity. Then call them today, 440-787-3845, or go to marathonroofingoh.com. They also specialize in storm damage insurance claims. Hail damage shortens the life of shingles and can void your warranty. So the next time you see hail, call Marathon Roofing at 440-787-3845 or go to marathonroofingoh.com and you may qualify for a free roof.
USA Today reports that nearly 20% of parents plan to take a second job to pay bills and support their families. The story points out how good parents do whatever it takes to provide for their families, right? If you need to earn more income, listen to what best-selling author and financial advisor Ray Lucia says about IncomeAtHomeUSA.com. He calls it, quote, an amazing way to earn a significant income in your spare time. IncomeAtHomeUSA.com is your own home-based, internet-based business. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can totally do this. There's no selling soap. No cold calling. You set your own hours and have virtually unlimited earning potential. Their proven step-by-step program can help you get started today. You can literally earn money from your kitchen table. IncomeAtHomeUSA.com is A-plus rated, affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company, and they want you. So do this. Visit IncomeAtHomeUSA.com. IncomeAtHomeUSA.com. IncomeAtHomeUSA.com.
Someday I will go home. Someday I will go home. And I'll find peace in the house, my Heavenly Father. It won't be long.
welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That wasn't too long, and that was a great song by Los Lobos, Someday. And we're getting to that day real quick. And the lines are open, and we have the numbers for your end time question, and that would be 888-677-WORD. And we're live. You call us right here on the studio, 888-677-9673. And some would... might want to argue that, but I want to remind you too. Here we are on a Tuesday evening, and we're on every Tuesday.
We are now.
Yeah, we're a Tuesday ministry now at 8 p.m. And you know, since you know we're going to be here for a while in this time slot, why not recommend the program to a friend?
I think that's a great idea.
I'm glad you did. And they can learn just as we're learning tonight about the book of Joel, how he's a minor prophet, but minor in just the shortness of the writing.
Yes, it's only three chapters.
Three chapters, but not minor in...
No, and it'll take us a while to get through it because it takes us to a lot of other scriptures in the Bible as well.
Oh, yeah.
As just like Revelation does.
Oh, sure does. Absolutely.
All right, well, we're going to get right into it, but I do want to mention one thing. You know, we were talking about the meanings of names, and I think we should say what your name means.
Oh, okay.
Yochanan.
Yochanan. I know what that means. It means the Lord graciously gives or gave.
Right? Yeah, and he's been gracious to you.
Yes, he
good
has.
Good talent.
Yes.
Worshipful music. Oh, it's so great.
And he's my lovely wife and my nice family.
Gave, that's right. All right.
How about your name?
My name. Oh, yeah. Well, that's actually in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spelled S-H-E-L-A-H.
Mm-hmm.
Shelah. And it's the third generation from Judah.
Hmm.
One of the tribe guys. And it means sent. And it also means prayer.
Hmm.
So I've been sent to you all out there to teach you Bible verses.
I'll say amen to that. Well, let's start in the book of Joel, okay? Want me to read the first verse?
Oh, yeah, would you?
Okay.
Short.
It's an easy one. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Petuel.
That's right. Well, a couple of things right off the bat is we already talked about the names of people, and we just did it again. And again, they can mean a lot. Like even Joash. Do you know what his name meant?
I think it meant Yahweh has given, right?
That's right. And his life was given to him because he was spared as an infant. He was given kingship too. It's just too bad he blew it.
Oh yeah. How about Athaliah, that wicked queen? What does her name mean?
Her name means God is great.
Hmm.
Now it doesn't mean that she thinks God is great, but that's what her name meant.
Not.
Yes, he did surely show his greatness by hiding Joash and then destroying her rulership. He was pretty great. And then Joel's father's name, as we just read, is Petuel, and it means enlarged of God, open-hearted, kind, but a simple and humble man. And it is said that Joel had a good and godly upbringing, but not terribly well-known, and he preferred it that way.
Okay. Did he live out in the country or something?
Yes, I think maybe the desert would be a good
Or the desert or something. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, the other important factor in verse 1 is the words that came to. Now, it says the word of the Lord that came to Joel. Now, that came to is haya, and it's an emphatic word, meaning like it overtook Joel, like in possession.
Wow.
In other words, it was definitely God, not Joel's words. And he wanted us to know that, which is why he also mentions his father's name, who was not a well-known orator or anything like that, just a simple, humble man.
Yeah. And Hayaz, you'll find that a lot in the book of Genesis at the time of creation, and it really comes before some serious stuff.
It surely does.
Yeah.
It surely does. So the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Now verse 2.
Okay, hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers?
All right, you had asked me that earlier, if you thought the locusts.
Locusts were as bad as they were in Egypt, as the plague locusts.
Yeah. And now we know that it definitely was worse.
Ooh.
He says, has this ever happened even in the days of your fathers? So he was saying, are you looking at what just happened? Hello?
So this was worse plague than fell on Egypt.
It definitely was, and ever before.
Wow.
Horrific. Crops completely gone. The trees were white for lack of the bark, but most of the other kind of trees, like the fig and the pomegranate, were actually withered.
Yes.
And we'll get into that more because that's explained in verse 12.
Hmm.
And also, we're going to see in verse 5 that it was at the time of a soon major harvest. So we'll just hold on to that.
Hold on to that thought.
That's right. Now, it says, hear this, you elders. Now, let's talk about the word elders. It's Zakane, number 2205, and can mean the religious, or it can mean just older, but not real old like on death's door, because then that would have been another word, seeb. So they weren't extremely old, but they were just older, like probably, I would say, maybe 50s.
You're looking right at me when you say that. Am I as a king?
You are. But you're also wise and you're also religious. So it can mean any of those.
Okay.
And these would be the men that would actually sit at the gates and give advice. But right now, they were probably not godly, or otherwise the judgment of the locusts wouldn't have come.
Mm-hmm.
So God is saying, hear this, everybody, you elders, give an ear. All you inhabitants of the land. Now, that given ear is also very special.
Now, I've heard that before.
Yes. The given ear is actually like, you better pay attention to what I'm about to say. And we see that a lot in Revelation.
Yes, we do. That's where I've heard it.
Chapters 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Every single church, he says, anyone has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, he's saying, sit up, I'm going to say something important in these writings.
Ooh.
And again, it was God saying this, and Joel was very specific to say that it was. It wasn't me. It was really God came to me, and this is his sayings.
Interesting.
So, give an ear. And then he says, all you inhabitants of the land. And I just want to point out to you that the inhabitants of the land can also be dwellers of the land,
mm-hmm,
or dwellers of the earth. And we see this more in Revelation, but it is strewn in between here and there. But this is also a phrase, or like I say, idiom all the time.
Yeah, idiom.
But it's a phrase meaning that these people would rather make the earth their home than go to heaven. So in other words, the inhabitants of the land love the land. Sort of like today how people are New Agers. And they worship the creation rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what these people are, the inhabitants of the land, or as we're going to see in a few minutes, the dwellers of the earth, or earth dwellers, were unrighteous people.
And these are people who are unrighteous, yeah, and they've made earth their home because to them, that's all there is.
Yes. They want to stay on the earth.
They want to stay on the earth and stay in the flesh is another way, I guess you could put it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to, you know what, let's do an example here.
Okay.
Because I have one in, let's see what Jesus said in Luke 21, 34, when talking about the tribulation, I believe he was
talking
about.
Okay, I got it right here.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Here it is. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth.
Okay, so there's a lot that he said there.
Wow.
I don't even know where to start, but I think I'll start at the beginning here. He says, take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. Well, I don't think most Christians are really carousing today. I'm sure they do, but it's in silence. But anyway, drunkenness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these are, you look at these first two words and you think, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says cares of this life. And that's where you have to really start being careful because, and I can be as guilty as anybody, but we let the cares of this life take us away from the study of God's Word. And without the study of God's Word, you're not going to have the discernment to make the proper decisions when those decisions have to be made. In other words, you will lack the mind of Christ. You won't have your helmet on protecting your brain from the enemy's thoughts.
So, I know what you're saying is so true,
mm-hmm.
and I know how easy it is to get out of the habit of studying God's Word.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, to be honest with you and everybody listening, that when I don't study God's Word, I get into trouble fast. I mean, I start getting, you know.
Thinking yucky thoughts.
And thinking yucky thoughts. And anyway.
Yeah, no. That's a biggie. But then it says, and that day. So he's talking about a specific day. And I believe that's the same as the day of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to explain next week. But that day begins with the tribulation, the very first day of the tribulation period. And just prior to that, the rapture will occur. So to those that are staying on the earth or who dwell on the earth, the unrighteous, it will be certainly unexpected and a snare to all those people. To us, it's not unexpected. We're expecting the rapture to happen. We're expecting that day to come.
We should be.
Yes.
We are.
But the unrighteous, it will be a snare.
Hmm.
And he's saying, and those who dwell on the earth, and that's what I'm saying as an example, to dwell on the face of the whole earth, is he's talking about the unrighteous, the unsaved.
Wow. So earth dwellers means quite a bit more than just people who live on
it
the
is.
Earth. Yes.
It is. And dwell, by the way, also in Greek is katakeo, and it can also mean to remain.
Oh, so, yeah, those who remain after the rapture,
yeah,
is that
exactly.
what you're saying?
So if he says it, for it will come as a snare on all those who remain on the face of the whole earth. Wow.
Uh-oh.
See why study is so important, John?
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you have to have a mentor.
Well, that's necessarily always. I mean, as long as you have one to start you out so that you know what to do.
Yeah.
And then to kind of, you know, like be around in your friend in case you screw up. But
you're my mentor, actually. One of them.
Aw,
it's good to have. You. It's good to have more than one, but you are definitely one of them.
Thank you so much, John. All right, let's go on and read. Let's do one more example in Revelation 13:14.
Okay. Revelation 13:14. Okay. And he deceives those who is he? I guess the false prophet. He deceives those who, here we go, dwell on the earth.
Yeah. He deceives them.
By those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived.
And that's Revelation 13:14.
Wow.
So there again, he's using the idiom, dwell on the earth. That's those unrighteous. Guaranteed. That's what he's talking about.
Yes, it certainly has. It has an idiomatic use in the Old Testament and the New Testament. You can just see that right here.
That's right.
Let's see, verse 3.
Yes, let's go to Joel, verse 3.
Let's go back to, remember, the book of Joel, verse 3.
Yes.
He says, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. In other words, this big plague of locusts, this is going to be something that you need to tell your kids about.
Well, yeah, you just don't let them know the good stuff, you know?
Right.
Of course, tell them how much God loves us and loves them, but also what can happen when we worship other gods. This is the biggest sin of all sins, is idol worship. You shall have no other gods besides me.
Ooh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not telling our children what will happen to them if they start bringing in other religions and other faiths as they grow up and listen to, you know, other teens or something like that, they have to have a good foundation.
Yeah.
So, again, we see that in America today. They're bringing in other religions.
Of course they are.
Other gods.
Mm-hmm.
But parents are not teaching their children. Or sometimes they leave it up to others at Sunday school who just sugarcoat and tell the cute little Bible stories and neglect the consequences of rebellion against God.
And no one escapes those Israel didn't escape?
Mm-mm.
And what makes you think that America?
America's not going to escape.
We're not going to escape. And you need to tell your children that this is what's going to happen.
Why we worship, and here's the story about the locusts and how damaging they can be. And See, America hasn't seen what they consider a heavy judgment of God, and yet there's a lot of things that happen that I sometimes think maybe it is.
Well, I think so, too. But the other thing, too, we know there's sort of a sword hanging over our heads, but we have a security people working on catching would-be terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll only take one with the right kind of weapon or a nuclear weapon that can really...
And you know what it boils down to? It's the grace of God.
That's what's keeping us floating.
I mean, I think we'd be gone if it wasn't for God protecting us as much as he is. But I think he allows these things to happen to warn America. It could get worse. Wake up. Yeah. Worship me only.
And hear it from one of his very important prophets. He's warning us from all those years ago. I think this warning is just for us. So God, he didn't say to keep this judgment quiet, but he said just tell even the children.
Yes.
Judgment's going to happen
again.
Because
it's going to happen again. And Proverbs even says, train a child in the way he should go. Don't keep the truth from them. Children must know about consequences or they become spoiled and then later unteachable.
And you have to start early.
Oh, good point.
You must start early.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a little smack on the hand as early as crawling if they touch something they shouldn't. But today we're not even supposed to do that. And look what we're raising today. Gosh, I've seen some pretty spoiled, screaming brats, most of them.
Anyway, how do you put a crawling child in time out? How does that work?
Right.
So,
they should get a little smack on the hand. That's my opinion.
A little. Doesn't have to hurt.
And let's keep going because this isn't a child-rearing class.
Okay.
Although the Bible does say, you know, spare the rod, you'll spoil your child. So.
That's right, it does. We'll go to verse 4. And still describing the plague of the locust here. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. I think that's four different kinds of locusts there.
Well, that's only four.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting is that in Deuteronomy 28:38, by the way, God had warned them earlier, a long time ago, in the Torah, about going after other gods. And he said, if you do,
this is the curse.
Yes.
This is the curse. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it.
So he told them.
He said before them that day, a blessing and a curse.
It's about going after other gods. It is the worst sin of all.
Wow.
As far as locust goes, this is only four. There's like 8,000 different species in the locust family, and that, of course, includes grasshoppers and caterpillars, I guess. But each species has distinguishing traits. Can you believe that? It's just amazing.
What? Grasshoppers?
The locusts. They all have a different distinguishing trait, which is what we just saw in the four that we just read.
Okay.
You know, but like, for instance, I was reading, and I'm not going to get into the, you know, details.
I know you studied locusts this week.
But I mean, I don't want to get into it too much because it, you know, really doesn't matter.
You sent me a picture of a locust.
Yeah, I did. But like, for instance, in some of them, the right side of the brain might be bigger in one species, but then the left side of the brain will be bigger in another species, and et cetera. So they each have distinguishing traits. And of course, it depends on its main function.
Now, that is really amazing.
Oh, God is amazing, isn't he?
Only God could create something like a locust, I think.
Yes.
No matter how annoying they are, only God has made them for judgment, I think, somehow.
I mean, how could anyone say there's no God when you even just look at that?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyway, God was saying that all was eaten, and it surely was. There's no greenery left. And locusts number in the billions, by the way.
Really?
Billions, yes. Like a huge black cloud hovering and then descending upon the land. And even though this was horrendous, it cannot compare to the locust that we're going to see. Well, I'm not going to see it.
What the earth dwellers are going to see.
Yes,
the earth dwellers are going to see some locusts, right?
In Revelation 9, who actually come right out of the pit, and it says it has a king over them.
Ooh.
They're also much bigger. I don't know, 3 inches maybe, I'm thinking, or nine. No, I think I checked it out one time in some encyclopedia. Christian Encyclopedia said they thought maybe 9 inches. I don't know. But much bigger, with long hair like a woman and fangs to bite the people. So they won't be eating plants. They're just going after people.
This is a specialized locust.
Yes.
Yeah, specialized. Just likes to bite people.
Yes. Except for the people that have the seal of God on their foreheads. Do you remember who that is?
Yeah, that's the 144,000. Correct.
Revelation 7, you
Revelation
got it.
Revelation 7.
And people will actually wish to die because it'll be like scorpions constantly biting them. And they'll wish to die, but to no avail.
Ooh, and that's in what, Revelation 9?
Yeah, you know what, can we turn to that? We do have a few minutes. I think I'd like you to read Revelation 9.
Okay.
1 through 12.
1 through 12?
Okay, I'll read it out of your Bible. How's that?
Yeah, do King James. That would be good.
Okay.
Revelation 9, 1 through 12. Okay, here we go. Oh, I got to turn the page, don't I?
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
This is actually the fifth trumpet.
Okay, this is the fifth trumpet. All right. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads.
Hmm.
Want me to keep going?
Yes.
Okay, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man.
Before you continue, I just want to mention about the 5 months. I think it's interesting that in Genesis 7:24, it talks about how the waters remained on the land at the after the flood for 5 months.
The flood waters. And
yeah.
The flood, oh, here's another. The five. Yeah. Oh, so my gosh. 5 months and judgment. And there we go. There's a connection there.
I think so, too.
Verse 6, yes. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. Now, the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth.
How would you like to meet one of them?
It sounds like this is a bug. I don't think raid's going to kill these things. And they, verse 9, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them.
Yes, they had a
king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon, or Apollos, Apollyon. So, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. So those, that was some pretty nasty stuff. Now, You've answered this before. I used to think that this was talking about helicopters because John was seeing into the 21st century and he saw helicopters. Give me a good reason why you think it's not.
I just always take the Bible literally. Mm-hmm. And when God uses locusts so often in the Bible for judgment, it would make total sense to me that he could do this.
And for 5 months.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the connection there. So,
right. And I think it's interesting that verse 11 says, and they had a king over them, but if you go back to, and we don't have time to go back there, but in Proverbs 30:27, it's interesting how it says the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. So there's showing that locusts don't normally have a king, but in Revelation, of course, Apollyon is definitely another name for Satan.
Ooh, that is scary.
It is.
Are we running out of time here?
We
I see
are.
A lot of waving coming from the booth over
and,
there.
We're going to just finish verse 5 because it's pretty self-explanatory, and we're going to see how God says, hey, too bad, you drunks. You're going to not have any more wine. Could you please read that in verse 5, John?
Oh, let's see. Okay. Let's see. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth.
Okay. So, what does this tell us as far as what time of the year it was?
No more happy hour? Okay. No, let's see. Drinkers, the harvest time?
Of course, because okay. They weren't going to have any more wine. What happens before the harvest time every year on the Jewish calendar?
I believe it's a feast.
Teshuvah. And isn't that
repentance.
What we've talked about many times, about when judgment and bad things happen, it's during the time of Teshuvah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's trying to get them to wake up before the new year comes and before Yom Kippur comes.
Yes, the Day of Atonement comes. And so, you can check that out on our newsletter, archive shows and newsletters on our website.
Oh, yeah, we talk about this quite a bit in the radio. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If you want to learn, you know, you can. There's no excuse. But, yeah, just by reading certain things, you can tell what time of year it was, what season they were probably going through. And I would bet you that probably a lot did repent after this, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I believe that they it was a bad judgment, and it was there was some starvation going on there.
Oh, absolutely. It had to be. Yeah. But next week we'll see how Joel compares this plague to the future. So please join us next Tuesday at 8 p.m. and tell a friend. And if you want to re-listen and take more notes, go to shofarministries.net and click on Radio Podcast on the left side. It should be up there actually by the end of the week, hopefully.
Hopefully. I'll have to take yours because I don't have one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yep. Okay, well, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, today would be a pretty good day to do it. Any day, actually, right now. Maybe you're concerned you might be one of those that you might be an earth dweller. And you have the head knowledge, but you don't really have a heart conviction that Jesus is Lord. Get on your knees right now. Repent. Do teshuvah. Particularly of those sins that are lingering in your life. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah of all. But remember, it's always your choice to choose Him, thereby making it your decision where you want to spend eternity. Just like you have a choice. Choose good. Remember? Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It has to go somewhere, and there's only two places, with God or with Satan. So you decide.
Yes, and I tell you what, we're getting into some pretty heavy times here.
Yes.
If you don't know the Lord, you better do it quickly, because this is just not a time to be playing games or saying you're going to do it when you're old.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Now, if you have questions for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office, and that number is 440-834-9006. And a reminder that we're here on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., right? Okay.
Yes, and I really like it, and I'd like to hear from you. Email me at sheila@shofarministries.net. Let me know what you think of this verse-by-verse study, if it's something that you can tell your friends about.
Yeah.
I want to know about it.
Tell your friends, because we'll be right back here next week. Now, any and all donations that we receive are very important, especially now, these days, for this Hebraic Roots ministry. And please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. We can even make a commercial for you if you
That's
have a
right.
business. And you can use PayPal to donate. That's on our webpage. Or just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. And all donations will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And why not check out shofarministries.net, where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived. And the Hebraic Roots teaching DVDs are there. We have the teaching CDs that prove a pre-trib rapture as well. So does that wrap it up? We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'esim lecha, shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Till then, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
See that in Psalm 122:6. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air,
please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.